Angel Olsen auf Flux FM mit Shut Up and Kiss Me. Ein Auszug aus ihrer dritten und brandaktuellen Platte My Woman, die heute Abend nochmal präsentiert werden wird im Columbia Theater beim Konzert von Angel Olsen, die jetzt bei mir im Studio ist. Wir quatschen ein bisschen über die neue Platte My Woman und über die Tatsache, dass die wieder ein bisschen mehr nach Band klingt als nach Folk-Solo-Projekt. Wir finden heraus, welche Vorteile es hat, in einer kleineren Stadt wie Asheville zu leben mittlerweile. Wir sprechen über Sounds als Statement, Kassettenlabels, Bonnie Prince Billy, was weiß ich noch, viele, viele weitere Themen. Zunächst aber sage ich nochmal Hello and welcome to Flux FM, Angel Olsen.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Yes. How are you doing today? How's traveling been?
Good. We were here last night. I went to Sea Rose for some food, some vegetarian food.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice. They had candles and roses and we went on a nice walk and we're playing at Columbia Theater tonight. What kind of part of Berlin is that in? Is sort of
it's Tempelhof. It's near the old airport, which is now a huge park. It's not an airport anymore. It's a huge park. And right across the street from that park, it's Columbia Theater. It's a nice venue. One of the best sounding venues in Berlin, I would say.
I was walking by last night and our sound engineer's from LA and he was saying that it kind of reminded him of like an LA style Art Deco building. It looks really like it was just taken out of LA and put in the middle of Berlin.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And it does have that beautiful sound because it used to be a theater.
Yeah.
So it's like optimized for acoustic things that are happening on stage. So you can go from really loud to super silent if you want to. And that's something that you probably want to use, the fact that you can you can work with dynamics there.
Yeah, well, I'll let you know after the show
how really?
What I think about the acoustics. But I think it's going to... I'm excited to play Berlin. It's one of those cities that I've been looking forward to.
No, because the advantage of that place really is that you can play there with a full band, with every volume knob on 11, you know what I'm saying? And at the same time, you can just strip back and play an acoustic song without microphones even, and people in the last row will be able to understand what you're singing about.
Nice.
So it's a good place.
Cool.
Congratulations on your newest LP, My Woman. Although you obviously write all the music for your records, you did incorporate the band a little more with this record. Well-oiled machine that's been on tour with you for years now.
Yeah.
When did you realize that you want to take them into the studio with you, that you want to... I mean, you've recorded with them a bit before, but I've read that they had more influence on the sound of the record this time. How is that?
Definitely more like... There were more people involved. So for Burn Your Fire, it was me, Stuart, and Josh, and Stuart ended up writing guitar parts over his bass parts. So some of it was live, but... We overdubbed a lot, and it made the sound a little bit bigger. And then for this record, it was six people. I invited my friend Seth Kaufman to join, and he wrote a couple of bass parts and some guitar parts. And then when he met everyone, Stuart, who plays guitar a lot of the time and plays a lot of the leads, like on Sister and on Shut Up Kiss Me, him and Seth were sort of sharing, you know, solo leads. But... When Seth started playing guitar, Stuart would move to Rhodes and write something on Rhodes that matched the song, you know. But yeah, it was kind of, I think it was more collaborative in that it was a live on tape kind of recording.
Wow.
So we were performing it and then we would go into the studio, listen back, and Stuart or Emily would say, oh, what did you put on that? Or did you put some effect on that? And we'd write it down to make sure to keep it on during mixing, you know. Or, hey, I really didn't like my part on that at this section. Do you mind if I redo it? Or, you know, and that was sort of more allowed in this situation than before.
And I've read something interesting that you said in another interview, and that was something about the sound being a statement on this record. You told the interviewer that the statements, your statements were part of the lyrics on the previous recordings, but now you wanted the sound to be a statement.
Yeah, I mean,
well.
I definitely wanted to be able to sing out more and not necessarily it be all about the words, though words have always been kind of the centerpiece of what I do. And I wanted to be able to play those longer songs like Sister and Woman and kind of, you know, after playing festivals and playing the same sets all the time for Burn Your Fire and previous records, after a while you get a little bit tired of the pop, even the ones that are really popular.
Yeah.
So it's nice to play... and to write songs that are fun that you can kind of change
in
the setting, you know.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, some of these longer songs on this record, we can kind of play them a certain way live.
You can jam.
Makes it, and it's it makes it fun for me. It keeps it interesting for me.
Yeah, so. And that's another good reason for you to change up things every once in a while.
Yeah.
It keeps stuff interesting for yourself.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think it's a good idea to show people that this musical world or this sound philosophy is yours as well, you know, because people have a misconception sometimes of people who play shows with an acoustic guitar only.
Yeah.
They think that they're all the same, that their topics are all the same, you know what I'm saying? And that's something I think that was a good move with this album to show those people for one last time,
maybe. I guess so. Yeah, no, I think there will always be people who listen to an earlier record of mine and say I'm a folk musician, and I don't mind that, you know? It's more just like, for me, I've developed an interest in recording, and after listening to recordings like Nebraska, I'm like, listen, if the boss can make a recording like that, that deep into his career, then why can't another musician make a weirdly mixed record and still do well, and it not be some like crazy situation where someone else made their sound for them. And you know, for the first time, I really wanted to be involved in every single process. But in wanting to be involved in every process, like mixing, you know, I mixed several times and I was traveling and sick and I was making these videos while mixing. And you know, I was just like crossing my fingers I'd be done in time to do press to talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
But so it was a learning experience.
It's a rewarding experience though, right?
Yeah, it was
definitely
rewarding.
It's tough to have control over everything, but it's rewarding, and it's a thing that you want to keep maybe for the rest of your career.
Yeah, it makes me want to know, like I want to read Tape Op now and I want to learn, you know, like I'm
it's
trying to learn more
magazine.
About it.
It's such a beautiful magazine.
Yeah.
I love the last page where they always talk about things that you shouldn't say to bands in the studio, like, oh, that was pretty much nice stuff in there already, or has the bass player met the drummer yet? Something like that, you know? It's a beautiful magazine, Tape Op.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you mentioned it.
It takes just talking to different engineers and it requires a certain kind of patience, but also a kind of, you have to learn how to encourage people without it coming across a certain way.
Sure.
Know?
Yeah, but I mean, the production, the recording and the mixing process is actually part of making the art.
Yeah.
So the better you are in that field, I think, as a musician, especially nowadays, the closer you get to the original vision, maybe, that you once had.
Well, I've learned now that I want to keep a notebook of every single setting and every reason why we kept the settings that way for those songs. Because in this process, there were so many different snare sounds and microphones. And eventually, I got the list of everything we used. But I think it's important now to keep a diary of, oh, we used this snare on this song and this effect because of this later on in
you
mixing.
You can recreate it.
And so because different people were involved in those steps, I had to connect the dots for them. And I was just like, I don't know why there were five mics. I think there was a decision made, but I'm not sure what it was about, you know, and that kind of stuff gets kind of it gets lost in the final process.
Yeah.
So the final process to me seemed, you can be in a great studio with good people who have an ear, who have all this vintage gear that's cool, and you could have, you know, a great live recording of it, but until you actually know how to mix and pan things and make them stick out in a way, you just have a lot of information that you don't know what to do with, you know.
But there's so many little and small tricks that you can use, and I actually love that scientific part of the recording process as well, because it's being creative on the one day one, or from day one to day 30, and then you got to go into the scientific.
Yeah, you got to listen on headphones and a crappy speaker and a nice speaker in your car. Different kinds of headphones, different kinds of rooms, you know, and I'm really glad we didn't mix it there because I think that room sounded perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes what you want is to mix it in an environment that isn't perfect.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I hope people did take notes because so many things you said were right. Let's listen to another song of yours. This one is called Intern. It's basically about a situation like this right now here.
Yeah.
Angel Olsen, it's Intern.
So you don't seem like an intern to me.
No, not anymore.
No. Good for you. Good for you.
Angel Olsen auf Flux FM. Wir quatschen gleich noch ein bisschen weiter und verlosen Tickets für die Show heute Abend. Die letzten Tickets für das ausverkaufte Konzert im Columbia Theater. Angel Olsen mit Intern auf Flux FM. Ein weiterer Auszug aus ihrer neuen Platte. My Woman, auf der sie neue Sounds ausprobiert. Allerdings ist die Platte sehr geschickt und oldschool, fast schon aufgeteilt in eine A- und eine B-Seite. Das finde ich sehr, sehr interessant. When I listened to your record, it felt like listening to an oldschool record because the songs are kind of like parted into two different parts. It's like listening to a record with an A-side and a B-side.
Yeah.
Like back in the days, the more forward songs are on side A and then there's songs that are, you know, a bit more stripped down, maybe reminding one of your old school stuff because it's songs with you and a piano only and stuff. Why would you do that? When did you decide to?
When I was finished mixing, I just was listening to how it would work out, and I just couldn't put like a song like "Woman" next to "Shut Up, Kiss Me," for example. I thought it would be interesting for people who do still listen to records. And I know a lot of people are, it's becoming a trend now to buy vinyl again.
Yes.
So I thought it would be, it was definitely an initiative for people who listen to actual records.
Okay, cool.
But I'm sure people will listen to it in whatever order they feel like online, you know.
Yeah.
It was just more of a gesture to be like, hey, if you wanted to play this and you weren't feeling like listening to side B yet, you could listen to this upbeat sort of side, you know.
We've just talked about the fact that you are trying out new things on this new record, and I sometimes think that this is the advantage of being a musician nowadays, because there are so many disadvantages, right? You don't get as much money when you try to sell records. The record company won't give you as much money in advance before you start recording because they don't feel like they're getting it back. So there's so many disadvantages, but one advantage is that maybe you feel it in another way, but I think that musicians nowadays have more freedom to just start something new after LP number two, you know, because the old recipe, like repeat what you've done with your first single, it doesn't work anymore.
People want you to come out with something like every 2 weeks, I feel like.
Yeah,
they're like, so you just finished My Woman, are you writing a new record? I'm like, I'm touring a lot for this record still. So no, but maybe. But it may be if I was writing more like experimental or psych stuff that wasn't like word based, really, or if it was lighter as far as word based, maybe I would come out with a record and whatever. But I really do like to spend time thinking about it as a group of songs that I care about, not just me just throwing something together to stay, to stay like above, you know, to stay in the scene where people are still interested. To me, it's just like, for me, I want to make it more interesting for myself. So the synth stuff and the piano stuff and revisiting those things on this record and playing longer songs and experimenting with that was me sort of saying, I'm going to be, if I make this record, now I know I'm going to be performing these songs over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I want to be able to sing out and play and get lost in it and forget that it's my song. So that was something that I kept in mind.
But do you feel more, would you say that an artist is more free nowadays to do whatever they want that they were maybe in the beginning of the 90s when the record company
maybe
had more influence on you because they were like, record number one was so successful, Angel.
Yeah.
Could you please write songs that sound exactly the same?
I think, you know, when I first signed with the record label, somebody said something to me like, you know, that song Sweet Dreams, we'd really love it on this new record of yours. And I was like, this record's going to be fine without that single on it. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
But it ended up being pretty, I mean, Burn Your Fire did really well. And so, and you know, that single is still something that we still want to do something with, but it was just like a moment where they didn't know me yet, and they didn't know that I was going to continue to write things, you know. And I think that's totally fair. I mean, for a label to fear and to want to figure out, you know, especially now that the money does get lost in the internet.
Yeah, but
and you know, and so they do have to be more creative about making money, not only for you but for themselves. So they find ways to.
But when I was listening to the Bon Iver record, the new Bon Iver record, which is like totally crazy and has basically nothing to do with what they've done before, I was thinking maybe they wouldn't have done that 20 years ago.
Maybe not, you know?
And that maybe that's the advantage of living in the times that we're living in and being a musician in 2016.
Yeah.
We've just talked about the fact that you are touring the record for a while now. And I find it really interesting that before you started your own band, you were having a band in private school called Fair Fight or something.
Good Fight.
Good Fight.
Yeah,
Fair Fight would have been good.
Fair Fight would have been great. Good Fight was, it was kind of like inspired by, what was I listening to at the time? Like I was like 15 or 16.
Gwen Stefani.
We listened to a lot of Sublime at that time. I had those hemp necklaces and the JNCOs.
Really?
Yeah, JNCOs and like the tight shirts and the skater shoes. And and I just like ran around on stage with a microphone.
Yeah,
I didn't play guitar then. But when I got my first guitar, I quit the band because I started listening to Leonard Cohen and Townes Van Zandt and that sort of stuff. And I was like, I need to start working on my own thing, you guys. Yeah. I think I have to leave. I was like 17 and really pretentious at the time.
And then you went on tour with Bonnie Prince Billy for a few years. You were part of his circus, kind of. How important was watching another artist's circus before you building up your own tent? Because
it's definitely a different. He has a very different style than me, and it was interesting. I think from that experience, it was just like learning how to communicate ideas to a band, and walking away from that feeling like.
Okay, cool.
I need to figure out how to talk to people about what I want because that's the only way to get things to happen, you know.
Yeah.
And so, I think that situation definitely encouraged me to get a band together.
Yeah, and I really think it's a good thing to tour with another artist's band before you build up your own because you can really see that it's not too romantic and it's a lot of discipline is involved when you're touring. I don't know if it's
you meet booking agents and you go to Europe and you see behind the scenes. I saw a little bit of the industry before I jumped into it.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
So
you're not as naive when you do that stuff for the first time on your own.
But I think because I was not as naive, there were certain aspects of it where people around me were really excited about opportunities. And I was just like, we're getting the 11 a.m. slot at this festival. So I don't know if it's like the best opportunity, but we'll have a little bit of breakfast and then we'll play.
Yeah.
You know, but you learn to realize that it's a privilege, you know. It is a privilege to be interviewed, to be able to tour in general, even if it's a hard lifestyle. You're like kind of crummy.
Yeah.
You just feel like crumbs are everywhere all the time and you have little personal space. And then, but what's presented to everyone is that, you know, oh, but you're someone everyone knows about, you know. But what I'm feeling is like I feel like I'm like kind of homeless.
Yeah.
Like I'm kind of, you know, just because I'm moving around so much with all of these people. Like we're just kind of.
And people you meet, they are friendly, but they don't really know you, right? So.
Yeah. But, you know, I feel like we've been doing it long enough now that this is the norm. And sometimes going home.
And
can
you're not on tour solo. You're with a gang of people
and
that love
you. And they're all such good people.
Yeah.
I couldn't have asked for like a nicer, more like, I don't know, just fun crew to hang out with. We've just been watching like TV shows and talking and goofing off together. You know?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really, I think it's really important because, I mean, the saddest types of musicians that I meet nowadays are DJs. They fly to Mexico and they get like 50,000 euros for DJing for a few hours. But they're really, really lonely people.
They're
rich but sad.
They're really lonely.
They wish for a band, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man, they would be so glad if they had a crew with them.
Yeah, or, you know.
Well, you've lived in Asheville now for a few years. You've moved
like
there.
Like 3 years,
yeah. You've moved there from Chicago. And yeah. Asheville, I was confused with Nashville first,
but
it's without an N. It's Asheville.
Yes, very
and
different.
It's a really small town, isn't it? What's the advantage of living there? Is it a conservative surrounding? Are you surrounded by Trump voters?
You know, the state of North Carolina is a red state, so yes. But Asheville is like this big, it's like the liberal dot.
Okay. And there's many artists there, right?
Lots of artists. It's just kind of like, I feel like it's kind of stuck in the 90s in some way. It feels like there's like a mixture of the 70s and the 90s
like
going
Portland
on.
Or something.
Yeah, like, I don't know how to describe it, but grandmas with purple hair.
Oh yes,
you know,
love
them. And people and like acupuncture and massage is like a huge industry there.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
So it's a bit hippie-esque.
Yeah, hippie-esque, and then there's like a pretty big like underground sort of like punk scene there too.
Yeah.
So that's the part that reminds me of Portland and Seattle a little bit.
But it's a nice surrounding for you as a person. You once said because it's like it's not as hectic as Chicago was. The winters aren't as cold. Maybe
it's not. No, and. If I need to get away, I just drive like a couple or, you know, go for a walk and I'm in nature, you know. It's really nice.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Now, like trees.
You sold Asheville to me.
Yeah.
Angel Olsen.
You should come by.
I'm going to visit you there once. But for now, I want to wish you the best of luck for tonight's show. It was great to be talking to you.
Thank you.
I hope we'll meet again pretty soon. But as I said, for now, I'm going to give away some tickets. The last tickets for tonight's
sold-out
show.
Yes.
We only want special people to phone in. Nur spezielle, sympathische, hübsche und nette Menschen sollen an dieser Stelle anrufen. Wenn ihr nicht speziell seid und nicht hübsch und nicht toll, dann ruft nicht an. 030-2000-9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück für die letzten Angel Olsen-Tickets. Die Künstlerin spielt heute Abend im Columbia-Theater. 030-2000-9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Thank you very much, Angel. It was a great pleasure meeting you. I hope we'll meet again soon. Here's one of your older songs, but we still love High Five, so let's play that one as well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.